Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, NoParish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Hey, today I got something a little bit different for you. Want to talk about a witnessing experience that I just had. I had found some used roof metal at a really good price, and so I contacted this man, and him and I went back and forth, and I dropped Sister Debbie off at Walmart in a town, and I went to go meet this man, and I got a great deal on this metal. Pretty awesome. And before I was about to leave, I gave him a gospel card, and I shared with him that I'm a preacher of the gospel. I travel America. I preach the biblical gospel. I call people out of the world. I call people out of the false religion. This world and this culture is dying. Christ is the only hope. And he was shaking his head, and he agreed. And so I thought I would go over on this audio how I kind of witnessed to this man who turned out to be a Mennonite man, an Anabaptist. And I thought it might be interesting for you to see how I approached it. And you can test yourself. Maybe I've got some tips for you. Maybe you can improve on what I do if you get to witness to Anabaptist. So the first thing I did is I gave him a regular gospel card and I shared the biblical gospel with him. And I warned him that most people in America that are of any faith are keeping a bunch of false man-made traditions like false gospels. They keep pagan holidays like Christmas and Easter that are not of God, but they're Roman Catholic in origin. They teach things like Sunday is the new Lord's Day, and that's a lie. The Bible doesn't teach that. And I warned him that Jesus said, keeping false man-made traditions makes your worship of God in vain. Mark chapter 7, you can go read about that. And I asked him when he kind of brought up and kind of smiled a little bit about Christmas, and I just turned to him and I said, you know, one thing to ask, I said, people always say, well, they're celebrating Christmas because they're doing it for God. I said, how come Paul didn't celebrate Christmas all those years after Christ was gone? He just kind of looked at me and smiled. It's a fact, because Christmas didn't come along for centuries later until the Roman Catholics invented it, the evangelicals kept it going, and the Anabaptists carried it over from the evangelicals. So, again, I sensed he was a Mennonite, and I wasn't sure. And once I realized he was a Mennonite, he said, yes, he was. I gave him an Anabaptist track. We have one made up special for them that pinpoints some of their areas where they need to really concentrate on. And it was a very rare Anabaptist witnessing because he was interested, he was kind, he was nice, and he didn't walk away angry or just ignore the truth. Most of them do. So it was pretty awesome. I really was thankful for that. I think he actually enjoyed it. He said he loves talking about the kingdom of God. So that was good. Some of the other things I shared with him is that I go and I preach, and I said I recently, well, 3 years ago, I preached outside a Mennonite church right here in this town. I won't mention who it was. And I shared with him, I said, you want me to show you how pagan ways have come into the Anabaptists? I said, I asked the pastor if Jesus is a liar, and he said no. In front of all of his people, I asked him this. And he said, no, he's not a liar. I said, how many days did he say he'd be in the grave? Days and nights. And he said, I believe 3 days and three nights. I asked the pastor, how does he get 3 days and three nights? Because they practice Good Friday death to Sunday morning resurrection. I said, how do you get 3 days and three nights from that? And the pastor told me, I said to this young man, this man was maybe 35, something like that. I said, the pastor said he'd get back to me. I said, that was 3 years ago. And he's never gotten back to me yet. I warned him that he's practicing false Roman Catholic holidays. And then I shared with him, Jesus died on a Wednesday night and rose on Saturday evening before Sunday started, because he is our Sabbath rest. And that is absolutely beautiful. This young man had nothing to say about that. He just kind of grinned and smiled. I shared with him how the Mennonites are named after a man, Menno Simon. And Menno Simon was a godly man, and he would rebuke them if he knew that his name was being lifted up above Christ. He had nothing to say to that. He just kind of looked down, didn't say anything. I shared with him how Anabaptists are indeed keeping many false man-made traditions, and they're not keeping God's ways. 2 Thessalonians 2:15, Paul says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. I told him Anabaptists keep a lot of traditions, but they're keeping man-made traditions, not the traditions of God. He didn't have nothing to say. He just kind of looked down. Again, I want to go make sure if I didn't say this, I preached the biblical gospel to him. It was on both cards they gave him, and we talked about that. That was the first thing we talked about. So to make sure he was rooted in what the gospel requires of us, always cover that 5-point gospel: faith in Christ, finished work, his shed blood, repentance of all sin, false ways, man-made religion, the world, culture. You must be born again by the Spirit of God. Most Anabaptists don't have the fruit of being born again. They're baptized. They're not born again. Holiness and obedience. That means keeping the scripture, keeping the commandments, keeping God's ways, and enduring in the faith. So we went over the gospel together. That was the first thing we went over. The next thing I shared with him is I said, you know, the Mennonites, I said, their women, most often, are very unbiblical in their dress. I said they're often very tight dresses. They're often adorned with many colors and flowers and patterns. And I said, you know, the men don't dress biblical either. The men are showing off their forms. And I said, God covered us in a tunic-like garment in Genesis 3. And that's right before marriage. You believe in marriage between one man and one wife? Yeah. That's right before that. God did that. And I said, so you guys aren't biblical in your dress. He didn't have anything to say about that. Then I shared with him how they invent doctrines like marriage permanence. You know, the Mennonites teach you only get one marriage for life. If you get divorced, you're supposed to go back to your first spouse. Or if you're remarried, you're supposed to dump them and go back to your first spouse. That he wanted to discuss. That is their pet doctrine. They love divorce and remarriage. So he wanted to talk about that one. And he said to me, well, if you're a new creation, because I shared with him I have divorce in my pre-Christ past, and that I'm a new creation, and that I married after I became a Christian, and that all things are new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And he said this. He said, well, don't you believe that a marriage vow is eternal? And I said, no, not at all. And he looked surprised. And I said, God allowed divorce with Moses. He did. God divorced Israel himself twice. He did. Jesus allowed divorce. He said, except for the cause of fornication. Paul allowed for divorced people to remarry. No, marriage permanence is a man-made doctrine. Jesus said there'll be no marriage in heaven. It's not an eternal vow. It's a temporal earthly vow. It's not eternal at all. He really didn't have anything to say about that. He just kind of, we just kept going and went on to the next thing. I shared how we're definitely against believers getting a divorce unless there's fornication, which Jesus allowed for that. But pre-conversion divorce, 2 Corinthians 5:17, all things are made new once you repent. And I said, you know, Menno didn't even teach what you teach today. Menno believed whatever happened in your life before Christ is washed away. Now you're a new creation. You could remarry as a new creation. You don't even believe and hold to what doctrine the man you're named after teaches. He didn't have anything to say to that. He did say this. He said, well, if you come to Christ, he said, wouldn't you want to make all things right once you come to Christ? Like if you stole things in your past life, wouldn't you want to make it right? And I said, well, if I was a thief before I came to Christ, I said, yes, I would, because God says to do that. God says if you can make restitution, do that. God never said to go back to your original marriage partner. In fact, he forbid the Israelites from getting divorced, then remarrying, and going back to their marriage partner. He forbid it. And God told the men, I think it was in Ezra, the Israelite men, to divorce their pagan wives. Marriage permanence doesn't exist in the Bible, not at all. And God doesn't tell us to go back. And, you know, because I told him, I said, Mennonites will tell me today to dump my godly wife. Yeah, because of their doctrine. And I said, that's not what the Word of God teaches. He didn't have anything to say to that. Then he asked me, he said, didn't Jesus change the law? I said, oh, no. He didn't change it. He fulfilled it perfectly. He enhanced it. He raised the bar. He said Moses allowed divorce over the hardness of your hearts. Now he said, stop that. You need to have not a hardness heart anymore. And you need to stop putting your wife away for any reason unless there's fornication. Don't look at your brother and hate him. You committed murder. Don't look at a woman with lust. You've committed adultery. Jesus elevated the law. He didn't change it and do away with it. He had nothing to say about that because he knows Moses was allowing divorce and remarriage under God's approval. which would have been Jesus Christ himself. I asked him this question. I said, do you believe in once saved, always saved? And he said, no, of course not. I said, neither do I. I said, so let me get this straight. I said, a believer can break his vow and his covenant with God and turn back and be lost, right? He said, absolutely. I said, well, that's a strange way for you to believe, because marriage is a covenant, is it not? And he kind of looked and said, well, yeah, I guess it is. You're saying that one can't be broken, but a covenant with God for salvation can be broken? He didn't have anything to say to that. That's one that really trips him up. You can break your marriage covenant when you commit adultery. You also can break your covenant with God and turn back. He didn't have anything to say. I told him Matthew 7 says we're to judge rightly without hypocrisy. Get the log out of our eye that we can help our brother with the splinter, right? Mennonites who judge people on divorce and remarriage are hypocrites, as they have pagan holidays, false gospels, false doctrine, pride, all kinds of things, immodesty, pride, and vanity in their dress. I said, you can't judge anybody till you get the sin out of your own body in your life. He didn't have anything to say about that. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm a bold man. I said, I preach bold. I might have a harsh or a loud voice at times. Sometimes I lift up my voice to street preach. And I said, they'll often tell me that you're not meek. You know, we need to be meek, because most Anabaptists talk like this and they're very calm and they never raise their voice, or they never have any righteous anger, it appears, how they act that way. I asked him, I said, did Jesus make a whip and drive people out of the temple? Did Paul tell men to cut off their manhood? Did Jesus, Paul, Peter, and John the Baptist eviscerate false teachers with harsh words and stern rebukes? They did. And he just kind of looked down. I said, meek is not weak. And we could talk about that if you wanted. He didn't really have anything to say about that. And I told him, I said, listen, I love you. I'd love to Bible study with you. I said, I'm so thankful that you took the time to stop and listen. And he was still very much receiving it. Then another customer walked up and we had to end it. I'd say it lasted about 30 minutes. And again, he was kind. He was interested. He said he loved talking about the kingdom of God. Very, very rare for an Anabaptist. Most of them get very self-righteous. Most of them get angry. Most of them walk away and ignore you. This young man, actually, I believe some seeds fell on some fertile ground. So just some points to cover with you as a recap. If you're ever witnessing to Anabaptists, what you want to do is you want to preach the biblical gospel. They lack that. They really focus on going to church and living in community. Focus on the five-point gospel to call them to true salvation. Most of them are not truly born again. Expose their many man-made traditions. Christmas, Easter, Sunday's the Lord's Day, unbiblical dress. Some of them do tithing. All different things. Expose those so that the Holy Spirit can convict them that they're living in sin. Give answers to them that force them to think, like I did with divorce and remarriage, their pagan holidays, so they can go and test their ways to the Word of God. That's what we want to challenge them to do. Also, challenge them with biblical truth and the New Testament Christian model versus their man-made Anabaptist traditions. Get them to think, you're following man-made traditions. We need to be following God's traditions. They've got to see the difference between the Anabaptist traditions that came along about 600 years ago and Christ's New Testament body that came along when? 2,000 years ago. They're following modern day man-made religion. Warn them that lies and false traditions will damn their eternal souls. They need to hear that. Lastly, remind them we're to follow Christ, most of all, not Anabaptist elders who will teach you all these false ways, allow all this sin, allow all this compromise. You're to separate from them and follow Christ with all that you are. So I just recommend to you, if you plan to witness to Anabaptists and you're around them often, be studied up in those areas that they love to go after: remarriage, nonviolence, false pagan holidays, even the gospel. They'll tell you they have a biblical gospel. They say, believe in Jesus and get baptized. That's their gospel. And join a church, a Mennonite church. That's not the biblical gospel. So be studied up in these things: marriage, nonviolence, pagan holidays, Christmas, Easter, biblical dress, of course, the biblical gospel. Anabaptists, when it comes down to it, are no different than Baptists or evangelicals. Most of them have no spark of life. This young man did. I could see it in him. He had something. He had an interest. Most of them act much like false converts. They're dead in man-made religion. They have no time for the truth of God. They're too busy living in community, making money, just doing their thing. No, it's loving to preach to them and wake them up to the truth. So you might ask yourself, well, why am I preaching this way to those that are already claiming faith in Christ? Well, most of them are following a false Jesus. I think you see enough false ways here to see that they're following a false Jesus. Paul says in Galatians 1, that's a false Jesus. And 2 Corinthians 11, false Jesus, a cursed gospel. It's not going to save you. Two verses I want to give you here. Why do I do this? Romans 10, 14, 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, I know the context there is probably to unbelieving world, but you know what? Most of these people are just as dead as the unbelieving world. And what a joy it is to be the feet that get to go and preach the gospel. All the glory goes to my Lord and Savior that allows me to do that. And also, let's talk about James 5, 19 through 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one converteth him, let him know that he that converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Hey, they're claiming Christ, even though it's a false Jesus. They're in sin. They need to be called out of that sin lest they die in their sin and perish. I love them too much to not speak up. I'm okay with becoming the enemy of most of them. You know, most Anabaptists hate me and Sister Debbie that know us. Yeah. And all we do is show love, preach the truth, tell them the truth. Yes, the truth is hard. Our truth from the Word of God will cause them to leave all their false traditions, will cause them to lose their community, their friends, lose their parents, lose their jobs, because most of them are all linked in Mennonite jobs. Isn't that exactly what Jesus said the truth will cost you? Your life, your relationships, you'll be hated. Yeah. And it's sad. They really hate us. Most of them absolutely hate us. Anyone that I've witnessed to, the Anabaptists, when I meet them a second time, they want nothing to do with me. They have no correction. They have no rebuke. They have no answers to all my questions. They just turn and walk away because, see, we call them out of their religious life. They just want to be left alone and they think they're just fine. Like a Catholic, like an evangelical, like an unbeliever. But we love them too much. We continue to preach the truth. So I hope that blesses you. My witness experience with this young Mennonite man. What a rare treat. He was interested. Line up 100 Anabaptists and maybe one or two of them are interested. That's my experience. Most of them hate the truth because it threatens their false, lukewarm, dead religion. So again, thanks. I'm so thankful that I got a chance to witness to this young man. He was put in my path. I hope this blesses you. Preach the truth. Preach the gospel. Tell them you love them. And you know what? When you're done, you have no regrets. My hands are clean. I give them the truth. Give them the God. They have my contact info. They can call me. And then I move on to the next appointment God has for me. Hey, test yourself at thegospel@don'tperish.com. Let me know how I can help you in the faith. Spring's coming and we're getting ready to hit the gospel road. And every time I go to town, God's keeping me sharp. And Sister Debbie, with our witnessing, so we can go out and be a light to this dark world. We love you all. Check out don'tperish.com. See the daily edification tab. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Strive on, ye saints of God. He's a worthy Savior. Till next time, may God be praised.